So today, I want to first of all thank you for allowing me to come and share God's word with you this morning. And as the text was read today, I want to remind you. So I want to remind you, there's some essential things in life that we have to be reminded of, right? And so in life, sometimes things happen and we focus and we get busy working, right? We get busy doing things. We get busy doing whatever life throws at us. But then there's always those things that we got to be reminded of. In life, there are essential matters in life that are worth reflecting on pretty regularly. If you think about it, there's some things that stand out that are very meaningful to life, like relationships, the importance of relationships. We need to be reminded at times the importance of relationships, because sometimes we can isolate ourselves. We can, take relationships for granted, right? And so we got to be reminded that relationships are important. Gratitude and mindfulness. We got to be, thankful. And we got to be conscious of being present in the moment and grateful for what we have. We have to remember that, we got to foster happiness and mindfulness. We got to be just intentional and not overlook the simple joys, right? There's got to be reminders about our health, right? Health and well-being, mental and physical health are foundations for everything, So sometimes we got to be reminded of that, right? I'm very conscious. When you hit 50 and your health is like it rises to the top of the the food chain, and you got to be reminded, I got to take care of myself. I got to eat better. I got to exercise. Those are constant reminders that you have to have. Growth and learning. We want to continue to grow. No, only dead things don't grow. So no matter how old you get, it should always be intentional with growth and learning about life and a continuous effort, whether it's through education, hobbies, or experience. And sometimes, even with life purpose, living on purpose, that life can get so mundane that we forget that this is a purpose. God has a purpose for our life, and we need to have a sense of purpose and a reason to wake up every day. We got to think about and be reminded that sometimes we got to balance life. When last time you're taking a vacation or a break, last time you rest, we got to be reminded. Those are essential things, right? I'm talking about essential things, but we forget sometimes. we forget the rest. Embracing change. That's another thing we got to be reminded on. Change is inevitable. A lot of times we get upset because things are changing. A new office, a new president comes in, changes. Everybody struggles with change, but change is a part of life. And we need to embrace change regardless, even when life is unpredictable, and the ability to adapt to change with grace. We got to just be conscious of that. Realize, and also we got to be reminded that time is limited. Tomorrow's not promised. The days are short. Time just, we're already first quarter of the year done. We're already talking about spring and summer, planning for the fall. Once fall gets here, it's done, And so we got to remember that time is limited. We got to be reminded of kindness and being compassionate, right? We got to remember sometimes, kindness doesn't always come naturally, my wife's like, I don't like how you said that to me. I'm sorry. I got to be conscious, and be reminded, right? We got to talk calmly. We got to, not always be anxious about things. So these are things that we got to be constantly reminded of. And Paul opens up this text. He says, look, there's some things you have to be reminded of. He said, I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel. The gospel is essential in life. It is the essential aspects of our faith. It's the foundation, if you will, of our faith. Right? But how often do we hear message on purely the gospel? How often are we realize what the gospel is, or even think intentionally about the gospel? because it is the essential aspects of our faith. The gospel is he said, the gospel that was preached to you. This, the gospel, is what brought you into the kingdom. The gospel is what saved you. The gospel is which what you would, he says, you received it. See, that which you received. He said, that which you stand in. And this same gospel is the thing that's going to save you at the end of the day. No matter all the good things you might have done in your faith and for the Lord and then for the kingdom, it is only the gospel of Jesus Christ that will allow you to enter into heaven. No matter how many days you might have come to church, no matter how many services you might have attended, no matter how many Bible studies you've done, no matter how many homeless people you fed or whatever good works you might have done, none of that brings you into the kingdom. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the message of God that brings you into the kingdom. It's what you have, he says you received it. Everybody got to receive the gospel. You have to receive that which God has done. That's the message. That's the message of hope. That's the message that inspires us. That's the message, he says, that when you have to receive what God has done, that good news is something you have to hear. And after you hear it, you got to receive it in order for it to be applied to you. That gospel, we got to be reminded, he said, of that gospel which you have received, which you now stand in, by which you're being saved. Your gospel, the message of Christ, is what saves you. He says, if you look, he says, if he qualifies it. If you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. It's interesting he says that there, because see, this gospel is something you have to hold on to. Who doesn't need good news every day? Think about it. Is there a day you don't need good news? Now, this is a bad news day for me. I just want to hear the bad news. They ask you first, you want to hear the good news or the bad news, right? Give me the bad news first so I can take that in so the good news will overwhelm it and overcome it. He said, but you have to hold fast. That good news, people, they say, people, I don't believe you lose your salvation. The question becomes, were you ever really saved? Did you ever really receive that message? Did you ever really believe that this was the work of God in your life and not your own work? Or did you try to qualify with the things that you do by your own good efforts, by your own goodwill? Well, I have perfect attendance at church. Who cares? That doesn't get you any closer to God. I've done all these good works in your name, he says. I don't know you. It's the good news of Jesus Christ that we have to receive and we have to hold on to it, unless you believe in vain. Sometimes we just, you know, the Bible talks about the seeds that are sown that get snatched up. The gospel seeds are sown into your heart, but has it taken root into your heart? Has it taken root into your life? Has it changed you? Has it transformed you? Has it empowered you to live the godly life that he's called you to live? Not out of your own efforts, but is God in you the hope of glory? God in you the hope of glory. Is God in you? It's not you, it's God in you. What they see is not you, they see the God in you. They see Jesus manifesting his life in you. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, right? But it's Christ who what? Lives in me and through me. That the life we live in faith in him, trusting him for every single thing. There's nothing you can do to get saved. God does the saving. You hold on to that message. You hold on in faith, believing every single day as you receive the good news that God is saving you and that you are saved and you're being saved, and you will be saved. But that's every day. That's every day. Now, it doesn't mean we don't have bad days. Yes, we have bad days. Yes, we have days that we struggle. Yes, we have days where sometimes there's even a crisis of our faith. But God doesn't let go. God holds on, and he gives us grace. Grace in those moments. Grace in the struggles. Grace in the hardship. Grace. His goodness endures, the Bible says, forever. He says, if you hold fast to the word that is preached, you have to hold on to God's word. We have nothing else in life you're going to hold on to. What are you going to hold on to that you're going to keep? You're going to hold on to your money? You hold on to your education? You hold on to your training? When the body is laid to rest, what is it held on to? Nothing. None of that stuff. It's only what we have held on to in faith, the work that God has done, that when we close our eyes on this side of eternity, we know that we will open them up in the presence of the living God. This is good news. This is what we have to be reminded of. This is what makes it all worth it. Wow. It's not your effort. It's not how much we toil and how much we work and how much we sweat. It's what God has done. Period. As they said, young people say, period. It's what he has done. We hold on to his work. To all who receive his message, he gave the right to become children of God. Have you received the message of Christ? If you received it, then stand in it. And if you stand in it, you will be saved by it. Period. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. Hold fast to God's living truth, his word. His word does not change. His word is imperishable. His word lasts for all of eternity. On this side of heaven, the gospel and the good news and the word of God is proclaimed. And on the other side of eternity, his goodness, his good news, his word is proclaimed. Because God is eternal. Past, present, and the future. Hold fast, brothers and sisters, to God's word, unless he says you believed in vain. And I hope there's no vain believers in here. He says, for I deliver to you as of what he says, first importance. This is, he said, of all the things I can teach you, of all the things that you can learn, of all the things you can understand, of all the things about God, he said, this right here is above all. It's of first importance. It's above everything. That's everything. Everything. That means there's nothing above this message for us. That this is the keynote. This is the essence of our faith. That this is of first importance, which I also, Paul said, look, I'm a recipient. I'm not just talking about something I haven't received myself. I'm not telling you something that I'm not doing for myself. I'm not asking you to understand something that I have not understood for myself. He said, you received it. And guess what? This preacher here has received it as well. I had to receive it. I had to get to know Jesus for myself. And though the gospel is proclaimed to the nations, he's proclaimed it to you. He's proclaimed it to me. He's proclaimed it to you. You have to individually, you personally have to receive it. You have to pick it up for yourself. You have to embrace it for yourself. Paul says, I'm a recipient, Lord God, of this good news. I received it. He said, this is of first importance, above all, which I also received. Here it is. This is the gospel. That Christ died for our sins. We were separated from God. Our sins separated us from the Lord. Our sins kept us from a relationship with the loving and living God. And he had to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. His Bible says, in accordance with the scripture. He said this from early on, from the foundations of the world, back in the garden, when he told Eve that your seed would bruise the head of Satan. And her seed would be the foundation of the salvation I would bring to my people. He said that in accordance to the scripture, that he died for our sins, because God said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through who? Jesus Christ. So he says, this is the first importance. This is above all that Christ died. That's a message. Christ died for your sins. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. He died for our sins in accordance with the word of God. In accordance with the word of God. And that he was buried. Just as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days in the grave. Told us. Gave us examples. It's going to happen. Son of Man will come. He will die. He will be bruised. And according to the scriptures, he said that. That he was raised again. He didn't stay dead. Amen. He didn't stay dead. If that was the end of the story, we'd be sad. We're up here preaching in vain. Go party and have fun, because there is no hope. God has not given us hope. Go find something else to do. He didn't stay dead, though. So he was raised on the third day. God said, 3 days he'll be in there. On the third day, he's coming out. Amen. In accordance with the scriptures. See, that's the gospel. That's the hope. We was raised for our justification. It justifies us in his resurrection. The resurrection, they talked about Paul preaching the resurrection. What is this strange thing you're talking about? The resurrection of the dead. No one else can talk about that. They can talk about karma. They can talk about reincarnation, recycling. That's just recycling your clothes. You know, you come back something else. Maybe you come back a donkey or animal or something. I don't know. You know. But he says, no. Just as this Christ was raised from the dead, you too also will be raised. He told us what's going to happen. We have the hope in the resurrection that we too will also be resurrected in him. That in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, we will not all sleep, but we will be transformed. Transformed into his image, into his likeness, for his glory, for his purpose. He said, that is the gospel. He died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. Have you received that message? Have you heard that message? You hadn't heard it. You heard it just now. I've been preaching it. I preached it to you. He said, Paul said, I preach it to you, but you got to receive it. It's like a pass. I'm going to pass it to you. I'll be the quarterback. You got to catch that ball, though. You got to catch it. You can look at it, man, let it drop. Interesting. That's not for me. I'm sorry. Thank you, though. Appreciate it. And that, hey, look. Not everyone has received the message. You know that, right? There's a lot of lostness out here. But how can they hear if no one preaches? Uh-oh. How can they preach if no one's been sent? How beautiful are the feet of those that bring the good news. Bring the good news, people. People need to hear some good news today. Who are they going to hear from? I can't be everywhere. Where can you be? Can you share what God has done in your life? Oh, before Christ, I was before Christ. Oh, man, let me tell you about what happened to me. Everybody has a testimony. We did an evangelism workshop yesterday, and that was one of the key aspects of the workshop was sharing your faith. We got to share the goodness, good news. People need to hear good news. We're talking about we pray for the economy and all this stuff, the transition, all these things happening. It's hard. People need good news. Christ gave the ultimate good news. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We have to be reminded that it's the gospel is a foundation of our faith. So Paul reminds the Corinthians that this gospel message is not a castle message. It's a foundation of their faith. We have to preach it. We have to receive it. The gospel is what saved us. It's not our works or status or wisdom. It's the gospel. The gospel is what we stand on. It's what sustains us in all the life challenges. That good news we got to keep falling back on. Because it's good news for us today. We got to preach to ourselves sometimes. Christ got this in my life. God got me covered. In sickness and health, God got me covered. In struggles and finances, God got me covered. I thank you, Lord, for your work and your saving grace in my life. Lord, I thank you for your good news. I need your good news today. Struggling relationships, marriage, children. Lord, help me. Lord, let me be good news to my children. Lord, in the midst of all this bad news, death, pain, the hope of God is his good news. It doesn't change. The gospel is the beauty of God's grace. It's first important. It's not secondary. We in Christianity, you know, we have our Bible studies. We study all these secondary issues. We can learn about our faith. We can learn about, you know, just how to live life, how to deal with culture. We can learn, you know, all the good things about communion and all those things. And all those things are important. You know, soteriology, justification by faith, grace and sanctification, the process of becoming holy. We can talk about glorification, all these deep things, eschatology, ecclesiology, all those things about the church. We can learn all that stuff. But Paul says, this thing here rises to the top. Because you can have a robust ecclesiology and not know Christ and not know the good news. You can have a deep understanding of the glorification of God and not have God. So these things, we have to remember that the gospel is the first of importance. It is above all. It is above everything. It's central in the foundation of our truth and the Christian faith. It is the very heart of the Christian message that Christ died, that he buried, he's raised again. This is of first importance. Think about it like this. Imagine being in the midst of a storm and someone gives you a life raft. You wouldn't say, thanks for the raft, but I'll check to see if this nice beach towel is nice for me. You know, it's like, oh, I like the beach towel. The beach towel is good to dry me off. But you're in a storm. You need a raft. That's the first importance. It shapes every aspect of our life. It shapes how we see ourselves. It shapes how we deal with people, how we deal with our relationships. That Christ died for your sins. So how can we hold anyone else's sins against them? He was buried. So we have to die to certain things in life. We have to sacrifice. And he was raised again. We have victory in him. We have victory through no matter what we're dealing with. We have victory. God has already won this thing for us. We just got to get through today. And then if we get tomorrow, we got to get through tomorrow. And if we get the next day, we'll get through that next day. The gospel is the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says that I decided to know. Paul says he comes to the Corinthians again. He says, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He put such a preeminence on this understanding that he said, I don't know anything else. I don't claim to know anything else here among you. No matter how much learning and teaching and all this stuff that I've acquired, I claim to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he drops the mic. I didn't want to drop your mic, man. I wouldn't do that to you. It'd been a great illustration, though, you know. So, did he just drop my mic? Seriously? It was for the point, man. He says, I claim no to nothing among you. Paul's single-minded focus on Christ crucified. He didn't get caught up in the things of this world. He didn't get caught up in the culture. He didn't let anything else take priority. Christ crucified is the hope of glory. It is a message that this message, what Paul was so passionate about. There was nothing more important than this truth. Where is your focus today? What are we prioritizing? What do we put above the gospel? It's not just the entry point of the kingdom, it's the sustaining point. It's the daily message. It's what, at the end of the day, before we close our eyes, we're putting our faith and our trust in Christ Jesus, who what? Died for our sins. Who what? Who was buried for us. Who what? Who was raised again. So Lord, I have that hope that as I lay here, my eyes are getting dim, and I'm coming to the end of life. Lord, that you will receive me, not by anything that I've done, but by your saving grace and your son dying for my sins according to the scripture, and was buried and was raised again according to the scriptures. This is what I have my hope in. From the beginning, from the cradle to the grave, the good news. The good news. It's what? Above all. It is above all. It empowers us for life and godliness. Paul in Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of what the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is what? The power of God for salvation to who? Everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. Everyone who received this message has the hope of the gospel. It's the power. God said, Paul said, it's the power, the dunamis power of God. The dynamite, the word dunamis, we get the word dynamite, where it blows up stuff. It's explosive power. But God has explosive, that gospel that comes into our heart blows up our lives, but it doesn't blow it up in a chaotic way. It blows it up in a beautiful way. He blows up all your own ambitions and desires and all that stuff. He said, I'm going to replace them with my hope, my purpose, my desires. He blows it up. He says, the power of God for salvation. Titus 2:11-12, so it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. What? The grace of God that brings what salvation has appeared. Appeared. Because Jesus Christ came. He appeared. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. So the gospel gives us everything we need for life and godliness. It's not just a message we hear. It's the grace of God that teaches us to live different, be different, built different now. It empowers us to reject ungodliness and worldly passions. The gospel isn't just for our salvation. It is the power we need to live in a way that honors God. The gospel gives us the power we need It teaches us to say no to sin and yes to godliness. It is God's power. It is what we have. It is above all. It keeps us. It sustains us. It motivates us. It gives us our hope and our reason to live every day. So I pray that the good news, he said, I want to remind you, hopefully today you were reminded of the good news. You will be reminded that this thing is the center of our faith. It's a centerpiece. Nothing else is more important than this message. And all you're learning, all you're getting, get this message. It is the hope of God. Let us pray. Father, right now, in the glorious name of Jesus, we thank you. We bless your name, Lord. We thank you for sending your son to die for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son who died, who was buried, and rose again. Lord, and in that resurrection was the all power and all authority was given to you, Lord God. And you now given us all that power and all that authority. Lord, let us walk boldly in the authority that you've given us as your children. Your children, Lord. Lord, so I pray, Lord, even today, Lord, that you would just empower us as we're reminded of your good news, as we're reminded that we need this good news every day, that there's no day, Lord, that we don't need to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, and that is the message of transformation. We want to see people's lives change, Lord. They need to hear the gospel because it is the power of God to transform a sinful life into a godly life, a sinful person into a godly person. It changes us. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this empowerment. We thank you for your truth that we stand on, Lord. Let us stand on it this day as we have stand on it yesterday, Lord, and as we will stand on it in the days ahead. So, Lord, may you bless us and keep us and prosper us. We ask these things in your matchless name. Amen.